Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Midland Reporter-Telegram, Thursday, April 30th, 2020. Energy. RRC seeks public comment on draft order. Sitton proposes to cut production by 20%, by Mella McEwen. A draft order by Railroad Commissioner Ryan Sitton to cut the state's oil production by 20% is part of the agenda for the commissioner's meeting set for Tuesday. The draft order may be discussed and proposed for adoption by the three commissioners, Sitton, Commissioner Chairman Wayne Christian, and Commissioner Christy Craddock. The commissioners are seeking public comment on the draft order. Comments may be submitted through Monday. The move follows the March request by Pioneer Natural Resources and Parsley Energy for the commissioners to hold a hearing to determine reasonable market demand for oil in Texas. The companies said it was part of the commissioners' responsibility to prevent waste of the state's natural resources. Energy companies lined up on both sides of the issue of whether to enact pro-rationing for the first time in 50 years. Large producers such as Conoco Resources and Diamondback Energy, Chevron and Marathon, and industry associations opposed the effort, while it drew support from operators such as Discovery operating in Midland and Latigo Petroleum in Odessa. Christian gave a preview of next week's discussion in an opinion column published in the Houston Chronicle. He wrote that he would vote against pro-rationing. Should Craddock and Sitton overvote him and agree that the state's current oil production rates constitute waste or waste is reasonably imminent because of a lack of market demand and lack of storage, the order calls for applicable operators to restrict oil production to not exceeding pro-rationing volumes applicable to each operator. The order established a $1,000 penalty for each barrel of oil produced in a given month in excess of those prorated volumes. Those fines may be reduced or eliminated if the operator shows a good faith effort to operate within those limits. Operators who operate one or more active wells with an average daily total volume of less than 1,000 barrels a day, as recorded during January 2020, will be exempt from the order. The commissioners would then discuss each month whether the order should remain in effect or be canceled. I think we can all see that production cuts are now necessary instead of just being proposed, Kirk Edwards, president of Latigo, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. The entire industry will be close to shut down in Texas and elsewhere as the Trump administration continues to turn a blind eye to the Saudi dumping of oil into Texas that literally has choked off the Permian producers. As I stated in my speech to the Texas RRC commissioners 2 weeks ago, Proration in Texas cannot do any good if the administration simply lets Saudi and other countries continue to flood their oil into the refineries at the Texas producers' expense. Why we in this country continue to let this happen every 5 or 6 years and manipulate our prices is beyond me, he said. But having the refineries buy Saudi oil at the expense of the now 40,000 to 50,000 Permian energy workers being laid off is heartbreaking. They should all be ashamed of themselves for doing so. Crime. City. MPD sergeant charged with DWI. From staff reports. A Midland Police Department sergeant was being held Wednesday on charges of driving while intoxicated and abandoning or endangering a child, according to a press release from the city's spokeswoman. Bond was set at $500 for the DWI, which is a Class B misdemeanor. Bond had not been set on the abandoning or endangering child charge, which is a state felony. Police officers were dispatched at about 3 a.m. Wednesday to the intersection of Illinois Avenue and Andrews Highway in reference to a vehicle wreck involving injuries. They recognized Sergeant Chance Rayner as the at-fault driver in the two-vehicle wreck, according to the release. Rayner, who has been under administrative suspension for previous infractions, refused to get out of his vehicle or communicate with officers. Because it was suspected there were weapons in the vehicle, and because of Rayner's knowledge of police tactics, officers secured the area and the MPD SWAT was dispatched to the scene. Because of Rayner's affiliation with MPD, Odessa's police department's SWAT was requested to assist, which is standard protocol, according to the release. Midland County Sheriff's Office SWAT team also responded. During the ensuing standoff, numerous attempts to establish communications with Rayner failed. OPD SWAT and K-9 unit eventually removed Rayner from his vehicle, according to the release. The MPD officers seized weapons and body armor that were in Rayner's vehicle. Rayner was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital for medical evaluation, treatment, and clearance for jail. The ongoing investigation resulted in the filing of criminal charges against Rayner for driving while intoxicated and abandoning and endangering a child. The driver of the second vehicle was released at the scene with minor injuries, according to the release. This is the second time this month that Rayner was arrested. He was arrested April 12th on a charge of public intoxication, according to a previous Report Telegram article. Before the earlier arrest, he had been placed on administrative suspension pending the investigation of another infraction. Commentary. In rush to get back out in the world? Will you care for your neighbor as yourself? By Stuart Doran. When stores and restaurants reopen Friday, remember what the most important thing is. It will not be the store trying to make up for weeks of inactivity or the entertainment venue you haven't frequented since at least spring break. It's not about any of that or anyone else. It's about you, because you are the only person you can control. You are the person who has to show accountability over your hygiene, such as hand washing, social distancing measures, and best practices of a pandemic that the majority of us never have experienced. Are you wearing a mask in certain situations? Is your behavior discouraging others from demonstrating those best practices? Are you conscious about your safety and that of your neighbor? Are you following the second of the great commandments? Love your neighbor as yourself? Because here is the simple truth. If weeks and months of doing what's right are tossed to the side, because as Mayor Patrick Peyton said, we have been tied down, we're ready to get out, and sometimes we don't even want to pay attention to anything that restricts us anymore, then we are setting our community back to a place of inactivity that caused it so much pain to begin with. I hope the first days of restarting the Texas economy is what people want them to be. If you have been craving the food and atmosphere of your favorite restaurant, by all means, eat up, leave a big tip, and make the most of the Midland experience. But please listen to the experts. Listen to Midland Health CEO Russell Myers, who stated Tuesday that social distancing expectations are not gone. In fact, we need to enforce the need to wash hands, to disinfect surfaces, and maintain social distancing. We're going to continue to emphasize and repeat over and over what has worked so far. It has worked. The statistics show it. Even isolated in our own part of the state, Midland wasn't guaranteed safe harbor from an invisible enemy. Ask Lubbock. The 500-plus cases 2 hours north of us is more than 6 times the number in Midland. Ask Abilene. The 255 cases, there are more than 3 times the number in Midland. Is there really a simple explanation for why cases jumped in Lubbock or Abilene and not Midland? Probably not, but I think it's because of the seriousness with which Midland leaders took the coronavirus pandemic. Dr. Larry Wilson, Chief Medical Officer, offered more words of wisdom on Tuesday, reminding everyone who is smart enough to listen that we still have to remember that the virus is still here. Wilson wants the economy to get moving in a positive way. He also wants to prevent a spike in the numbers of confirmed cases related to COVID-19. Social distancing is important. Wearing masks is important. People are going to be close together, Wilson said Tuesday. The mask mitigates that. It spreads the distance. If you are 3 feet apart, it'd be more like you're 6 feet apart in relative terms. So wear the mask, please, to protect those around you from a potential virus. Just like most other things in life, we collectively are in control of our reality. Government put many laws and ordinances in place because of the action of a few. We can look back at the deaths on the roads inside Midland County over the past few years and see that the fatalities were not caused by weather or conditions of the road, but by driver error. Friday and during the subsequent 2 weeks, practice personal responsibility. Act knowingly that the business or restaurant you are visiting needs you to maintain your social distancing and best practices as much as it needs your dollars. Let's get back to doing things, Wilson said. Let's get back to being active and get the economy moving. But please, let's do it in a measured fashion. Please, let's remember the social distancing as we move forward. Homeless Disadvantaged Being Screened by Caitlin Randall. Midland Health's premier physicians began screening the city's homeless population for symptoms of the coronavirus on Tuesday, as well as those who are economically disadvantaged. 60 individuals were screened the day the program launched, CEO Russell Myers said. The physicians leading the program are doing so on a volunteer basis, Myers said during a press briefing. He said none of the 60 individuals screened were determined to require testing. The individuals were screened outside a Breaking Bread soup kitchen during the dinner hour. Many of those people were homeless, but certainly not all of them, Myers said. Most of them are economically disadvantaged, either chronically or newly disadvantaged by a challenging economic environment, and we are concerned that they may be a population that is not readily accessing the healthcare system in any way. He said they will set up physicians outside Breaking Bread and later at the West Texas Food Bank a couple of times a week to monitor the health of these populations. Those who are chronically homeless present separate challenges for getting tested than those who became newly homeless since the economic downturn, Myers said. He said many of those who are newly homeless own cars and can drive themselves to the drive-through testing location if needed. I think we're most concerned about the chronically homeless, he said, not the people who have been newly disenfranchised and perhaps are living in their cars or have transportation at least, but the folks who regularly live in our community out in the open and perhaps are less accustomed to interacting with the healthcare system. That's going to be a work in progress, he said. A previous Reporter Telegram article outlined some of the difficulties in testing and providing treatment for this population. According to that article, the chronically homeless face several obstacles in getting tested for the coronavirus, including not having vehicles to drive themselves to testing locations and not having mobile devices to contact healthcare providers. Myers said Premier Physicians is hoping to help mitigate those obstacles by working with local nonprofits to reach these individuals. We are working with community advocates who work regularly with the homeless to try to define inroads to gain the trust of their population and ensuring that our screeners can talk to them and that the testing can go forward if it's needed, he said. Myers said they're using the recommendation of those advocates to develop a plan for screening the chronically homeless. City confirms Midland's 76th case of coronavirus, from staff reports. The number of coronavirus cases in Midland County and at the Midland Medical Lodge increased Wednesday. The city reported case number 76, a male in his 80s, was tested by a medical center hospital in Odessa. The man is a resident at Midland Medical Lodge and is isolating in the facility's isolation wing. The city reported he is 40th resident or staff member to have tested positive for COVID-19. Of those, 34 live in Midland County. The source of exposure for the latest case is contact to known case, according to the city. The City of Midland Health Department will continue to monitor the individual in accordance with the CDC. The Health Department reports the confirmed case is the 12th of those 80 or older. That is the second most in any one range, behind the 16 between 20 and 29. Literacy Center helps students adjust to online learning, by J.C. Lewis. The Permian Basin Adult Literacy Center's students and tutors have been meeting online for the past several weeks. At first, the center was unprepared to handle distance learning classes and did not have mobile resources such as laptops and significant virtual learning curriculum for staff or volunteer instructors. Executive Director Alba Austin said in an email, "The center has been offering students learning opportunities primarily through virtual meetings and other platforms. As with the traditional classroom, we have some students who have embraced any opportunity they are given because they want to continue studying or have access to an instructor by any means necessary," she said. "Then there are those who refuse. They suspect the technology. They don't trust it. They don't trust themselves. They aren't sure what it will do to their phone or the impact on their data plan." She said some students have had concerns about privacy and being susceptible to identity theft. PBALC is finding ways to help prepare the team to prepare the students better. She said that post-pandemic learning will need to be blended and remote learning should become more of the norm. "We are finding that some of our students either do not have adequate technology resources and or the digital illiteracy skills for virtual classrooms," she said in the email. "In addition, you have to remember, we serve adults and many of our students also have children at home at this time and are unable or don't have time to log in to classes." Austin said that some students have also lost their jobs and learning might be the last thing on their mind. PBALC forwards, shares, and posts for their students any information regarding Texas Workforce Commission. Students have continued their learning through Voxy, an English language learning program, to continue learning independently until in-person classes can resume. Some classes are held on Zoom, and PBALC has been taking advantage of free subscriptions to video conferencing memberships. "These classes have been a great way for our students, volunteers, and staff to feel connected during these temporary times of social distancing and self-isolation," Austin said. Program Coordinator of Students and Volunteers, Hunter Smith, said at the beginning, distance learning was not easy for him or for the students and volunteers. However, once we were able to launch our classes virtually for the first time and see how excited everyone was to be there, it made the experience well worth the countless hours of struggle with transitioning online, he said in an email. Student Ingrid Romero shared with Austin that learning online has been a good option and opportunity during this time. The online tools have helped increase communication skills and helped them keep in touch, Romero told Austin. Austin said she hopes to be able to resume in-person sessions next month, but might have to push it into June depending on guidelines. She said that literacy remains important during the pandemic because of how much information people are being given each day. Now, more than ever, people are being inundated with information, she said. It's important that adults have the literacy skills to navigate the information correctly. We must keep going, and we thank the Permian Basin for its continued support. Midland Park Mall to reopen with protocols in place by Mella McEwen. After closing its doors March 18th, Midland Park Mall will reopen for business Friday. But there are some safety protocols that will change, at least temporarily, how the mall operates. First, business hours will be limited to 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday to allow for enhanced sanitizing and disinfecting of the property. Occupancy will be limited so it does not exceed one person per 50 square feet, and entrances to the mall may be restricted and queuing protocols in place to meet that target. Tenants will be responsible for meeting targets set by state or local authorities in their stores. Mall employees, contractors, and vendors will be required to screen themselves at home prior to coming to work, and anyone with a temperature above 100.7 degrees or who exhibits flu-like symptoms will be required to stay home. Similar screenings will be conducted when employees, contractors, and vendors arrive at the mall. Employees will be required to wear face masks and encouraged to frequently wash their hands throughout the day, and tenants, contractors, and tenants do the same. Shoppers will be encouraged to take their temperatures and perform other health checks before visiting the mall and will be encouraged to wear protective face masks and frequently wash or otherwise sanitize their hands while shopping. Sanitizing stations will be available throughout the property, and masks and individual sanitizing wipes also will be available at no charge upon request. Free temperature testing will also be available utilizing infrared thermometers. Shoppers are encouraged to follow social distancing and protocols. To assist, food court seating will be limited and spaced in a way to encourage social distancing, and reusable customer service items, trays, utensils, and cups will not be available. Play areas, stroller and valet stations, and drinking fountains will be temporarily closed. In restrooms, every other sink and urinal will be taped off to encourage social distancing.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, April 30, 2020. Idea to host virtual job fair. Idea Public Schools, Permian Basin, which will begin operating in Midland in August at Travis Elementary, we'll be hosting a virtual job fair. The event is 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. today on Zoom. At the virtual event, job candidates will have the opportunity to meet one-on-one with IDEA leaders in a question-and-answer session. Available positions can be found at bit.ly/IDEAPBjobs. Those interested can RSVP at bit.ly/IDEAPBcareerfair. Meeting link is https://zoom.us/j/93504816673. And the meeting password is 1YLL H q S. For more information, contact Francesca Johnson at francesca.johnson@ideapublicschools.org or 432-230-8666. PE teachers work with students during pandemic. Physical education teachers at schools across Midland ISD are working to keep kids active, even as campuses remain closed. The first week in May is National Physical Education and Sport Week, which offers educators the opportunity to remind students of the importance of fitness. PE is such an important part of a child's overall education, MISD Physical Education Director Audra Hooker said in a press release. Our teachers have a variety of programs aimed at helping kids stay active during this time. Physical education teachers are working with students while campuses are closed. This includes holding open office hours via Google Hangouts so that parents can get questions answered as needed. I've seen students out walking, running, or cycling with their parents, said Hooker. We decided to encourage them to log these fitness activities because we know that choice is such a crucial factor in motivation. There are specific wellness activities that students can complete each day. Many teachers are partnering with Marathon Kids. Students can log mileage toward their goal of completing 26 miles during the year, according to the release. TrueFit Athletic Club offers free online resources. After Governor Greg Abbott announced Monday that gyms and health clubs will not be allowed to reopen Friday, TrueFit Athletic Clubs sent an email to members saying they hope to reopen the next phase of the governor's plan. During this time, the gym is offering free training resources to everyone, not just members. Access to fitness, nutrition, and mental health resources can be found at https://bit.ly/35GQW5S. The email stated that TrueFit staff has been cleaning, disinfecting, and rearranging facilities for when the business can reopen. Grocery store hours during coronavirus. Albertsons Market, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., 1002 Andrews Highway. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday, 3317 North Midland Drive. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday. HEB, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Customer 60 plus. Orders can be called in 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 833-397-0080. Groceries will be delivered by Favor Delivery. For more information, go to newsroom.heb.com. Market Street, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday. Walmart, 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. 7 to 8 a.m. curbside delivery pickup for first responders and customers 60 plus with disabilities or at risk. Today in history. Today is Thursday, April 30, the 121st day of 2020. There are 245 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On April 30, 1945, as Soviet troops approached his Berlin bunker, Adolf Hitler committed suicide along with his wife of one day, Eva Braun. On this date, in 1970, President Richard M. Nixon announced the U.S. was sending troops into Cambodia, an action that sparked widespread protest.
Obituaries. Mally Edith Meeks. Mally Edith Granny Meeks, 80, of Midland, Texas, went home to be with Jesus on Sunday, April 26, 2020. She was born in Midland, Texas, on March 31, 1940, the oldest daughter of Luther and Mally Eggleston of Stanton, Texas. She attended schools at Courtney, Greenwood, and Midland High School, where she was a proud member of the class of 1958. After graduation, Edith worked at the First National Bank of Stanton, Cap Rock Electric, and Atlantic Richfield. Edith met the love of her life, Robert D. Meeks of Seminole, Texas, and were married on December 21, 1963. The couple settled in Midland, raised two boys, and were happily married for 30 years before Robert's death in 1994. Edith was preceded in death by her spouse, Robert D. Meeks, her father, Luther and Mallie Eggleston, numerous uncles, aunts, and cousins. She is survived by a sister, Elda Allen of Midland, two sons, Don Meeks and wife, Andrea of Monahans, Harley Meeks and wife, Virginia of Midland, three grandchildren, five great-grandchildren, one nephew, and one niece. Due to current circumstances, a small family viewing followed by a graveside services will be held. Arrangements are with Llewellyn Garcia Pimpkin Funeral Home, and burial will be at Rest Haven Cemetery in Midland. The family would like to express their appreciation to all those who took care of Granny and made her life better these last few years, especially the nurses and staff at Ashton Medical Lodge in Midland. You became like family to her, and she enjoyed the time she spent with each of you. A special thank you goes out to the staff at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Rest Haven Cemetery for their compassion and understanding. Willa Jo Rogers Petrie Yater. Willa Jo Rogers Petrie Yater, 88, of Colleyville, Texas, passed peacefully into eternity Tuesday, April 28, 2020. A private graveside service will be 11:30 a.m. Friday, May 1st, 2020, at the Evergreen Cemetery Chapel in Stanton, with Reverend David Harp officiating. She was born in Buffalo Gap in 1931. Her professional career was in the Stanton Public School System as an elementary educator, high school counselor, and within the Office of Special Programs. She retired in 1990. She leaves behind her daughters, Pam, Hopi, and husband Ed of Round Rock, and Patty Quinn, and husband Dan of Coffeyville, her three grandchildren, and several nieces, nephews, and many Yater family members. Jo was preceded in death by her parents, her husband, her brother, and her sister. Arrangements are under the direction of Gilbreth Funeral Home. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Ronnie Harold Rayburn. Ronnie Harold Rayburn, 70, of Odessa, passed away on April 23, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Ronnie was born on July 8, 1949, to Patsy and Harold Rayburn in Clovis, New Mexico. No services have been scheduled at this time. Arrangements by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, April 30th, 2020, front page. Helping Out, Photos Take It to the Porch by Michael Bauer, mbauer at oaoa.com. Since the spread of COVID-19, there have been shortages of fundraising efforts to help those who have been impacted by the pandemic in any way. But some organizations have had to get creative with finding new ways to help. For Oilfield Helping Hands, one way involves family portraits. The nonprofit organization recently launched its Front Porch Permian campaign. The fundraising effort allows families to have a professional photo taken from their front porch, all in the process of following social distancing guidelines. The service is free to take part in, with the organization requesting to donate directly to Oilfield Helping Hands, supporting oilfield families in the Permian Basin. According to Megan Schreckenbach, Vice President of Account Services of Foster Marketing, the fundraiser came about after the Permian Basin's Black Gold Bash, which was originally scheduled for March 25th, was postponed due to COVID-19. The Permian chapter of the OHH had one of their largest events of the year coming up that was supposed to be in March, Schreckenbach said. With the recent events going on, we had to postpone that event. But after James Durbin, owner of the Oilfield Photographer Incorporated, offered to donate his services, the new campaign was given the go. Multiple local sponsors have stepped in as well, including West Texas National Bank, SHK Advertising Firm, Oil Country Media, Claire Heck with Real Estate One, and Ally Outdoors. There are some really creative supporters in the Midland and Odessa area, and James Durbin stepped up as a supporter, Schreckenbach said. He was able to get some sponsors, Schreckenbach said. We got our website up where people can book a time slot for people to come by. It is a free service. It's not being charged for the photo, but it is something that we are kindly asking people to donate to OHH, and folks are excited. It's something different. The photos look great. We're getting some nice donations from individuals. At this point, OHH would not be able to have large-scale events like we're used to doing. We're having to be creative, and this is one creative way that the Permian chapter is doing to get donations in to sustain our mission throughout this bizarre and difficult time. The photos are for families only living in the Permian Basin. The campaign has been in the works for a few weeks now, and Schreckenbach said it'll continue to run for a couple weeks more. We anticipate that it'll run for a couple more weeks, Schreckenbach said. We don't have a firm end date. Once folks are able to get back to their normal lives, it will more than likely die down, but we've been doing this for 3 weeks now. While Schreckenbach didn't have the number of how much has currently been raised from the Front Porch campaign, they're hopeful of seeing a large number of donations. I do know that we have numerous sponsors who are either helping promote it through their own channels, who are giving donations to help sustain the effort, Schreckenbach said. Really, we don't have a base set goal because, really, we're just trying to see where it takes us. How many people are going to step up and how large the individual donations are going to be at the end of the day? Owner of the Oilfield Photographer, James Durbin, poses for a portrait in front of his car on Monday afternoon. Durbin has started the Front Porch Permian Photo Campaign to benefit Oilfield Helping Hands, a nonprofit charitable organization that aids oilfield families in financial crisis by taking portraits of families on their front porch as they abide by quarantine guidelines. Supported by sponsors such as West Texas National Bank, Ally Outdoors, Oil Country Media, SHK Advertising Firm, and Claire Heck of Real Estate One, Durbin has raised over $3,000 in funds that will be donated once the photo campaign dies down and people are able to end quarantine and return to normal routines. Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Mayor, Churches Cautious to Open, by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. Mayor David Turner stressed to Odessa ministers that just because things are opening up in Texas, that doesn't mean that social distancing is over. Turner on Wednesday held a Zoom conference with most of the pastors in the city to discuss what the Attorney General and Governor Greg Abbott said they could do. It was very well attended, a lot of questions, and many of them understand that they can actually start to hold church, but they're still a little bit hesitant. They would like to have a couple of weeks to kind of see where the community is going. He added that there may be a few churches opening up for service, but that he is stressing social distancing and potentially leaving some pews empty. County Commissioner Eddie Shelton returned to the Zoom news briefings, not as a spokesman for the health department, but as a representative of the county, and was unable to answer questions relating to the health department, but said he would try to get answers to some of the questions. Shelton reported that out of 1,173, the county has had 81 positive cases, 48 recovered, and 4 deaths. As of 3 p.m. Wednesday, the Ector County COVID-19 response website detailed that there are 78 confirmed positives and 3 that are probable. Medical Center Hospital President and CEO Russell Tippin reported that MCH has tested 689 in total, with 51 positives, 3 in the hospital, with 1 in the CCU. 614 are negative and 24 are pending. Tippin said that there are 2 persons under investigation in the hospital. Odessa Regional Medical Center President Stacy Brown reported they have tested 279 people, with 13 being positive, 261 negative, and 5 pending. ORMC Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Sarvanan addressed questions about remdesivir, a potential post-infection treatment for coronavirus, and said it is an antiviral that is not new. There's just more data coming out. None of the data is definitive, but there's more data coming out in support of remdesivir. We'll keep watching and see if any criteria changes for use. He added that ORMC is using the drug on a case-by-case basis, but that ORMC hasn't had a case in a while. We would use it as needed, he said. MCH Chief of Staff and Interim Medical Officer Dr. Donald Davenport said that one of the things that he noticed about remdesivir is that it could be used from a compassionate care standpoint. We're looking at those individuals that are really sick, and again, this is going to be one of their last hopes to be able to utilize this medication, he said. Davenport said that, like testing, it's limited, so it could be difficult in this area if it's needed to obtain. When asked about what it would take to get life closer to normal, Tippin said 14 days of a decline in positive tests points us in a better direction. I think we're all watching what the CDC recommends, but that downward trend in positive results, I think, is our first sign of some normalcy, whatever that may be as we come out of this. Traffic cones outline the path for vehicles to take Tuesday afternoon at the Ector County Coliseum as county officials prepared to open the drive-through testing center. Ben Powell, Odessa American. Longtime arts leader dies at 88. Barbara Shin had her hand in just about everything arts-related. By Laura Dennis, L-D-E-N-N-I-S at OAOA.com. Odessa's now-thriving arts community wasn't always that way. Early leaders knew the importance of the fine arts, and one of Odessa's champions was Barbara Shin. Shin died Tuesday at 88 in Odessa. Her brother-in-law, Odessa music teacher and composer Ronald Bennett, said a memorial will be planned at a later date after COVID-19 issues are behind us. Randy Ham, executive director of Odessa Arts, called Shin, along with the Bennetts, the architects of Odessa's cultural community. Shin was not only known for her talents on stage, but her graciousness and kindness off. She helped build the foundations upon which our cultural institutions stand today. Shin, born Barbara Blair in Pampa, would come with her sister Dorothy Blair Bennett to Odessa in the 1950s to take a teaching spot at Zavala and then at the newly opened Peace Elementary as a music teacher. She later moved to Hood Junior High School, now called Wilson and Young Medal of Honor, as a choir director who would take the school to top honors in UIL for numerous years. Odessa artist and jeweler Sonia Haney was a longtime friend of Shin, who met her during those junior high school teaching days in the late 1970s. Her winning, loving, and smiling attitude and willingness to do anything it took to keep art going in Odessa. She was always positive and would do anything she could to help the arts community, Haney said via phone Wednesday. Ronald Bennett echoed those sentiments about his late sister-in-law. She had a willingness to do anything it took to keep art going in Odessa, Bennett said. Bennett said a memorial will probably be at Asbury Methodist, where Shin was once the choir director. He recalled the early days of the arts in Odessa when Shin helped lay the groundwork for the Permian Playhouse, the Globe Theater, and the Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale. Shin married Walter Ackerman in the mid-1960s, and he died in 1966. She later married the late Don Shin during the 1980s. Bennett said he and Shin have remained close through the years and marveled at how talented and creative his sister-in-law was. You know, she took the Hood Junior High Choir to consecutive UIL sweepstakes, a remarkable thing, he said via phone Wednesday. She could control those junior high kids with one eyebrow. They did not want that eyebrow to come down, and with that she made them into an outstanding choir. Bennett and Shin had a unique partnership during her junior high choir years. Bennett would compose original music that would play to the strengths of Shin's choir. If she didn't have tenors or whatever, she would give me the ranges and I would write special pieces so she could highlight the strengths of her choir. Shin wore many hats during her years in Odessa. She was a choir director at Asbury and also First Presbyterian Church. She was in the Tuesday Morning Music and Arts Club and was named the Heritage of Odessa Community Statesman. She also won the Volunteer of the Year Award from the Odessa Cultural Council in 1993. In an OA archive story from her Volunteer of the Year win, she was humble. "I volunteer because it is needed," Shin said at the time. "I want so much for us to rise above it all." She shared her knack for inspiring children and gave workshops on how to teach music. She could inspire more people, Bennett said of her work ethic. She got there early and stayed late. She would even go pick up students who couldn't get to school. She sang for many local organizations and churches and worked to bring multicultural events to the area, and even toured the Permian Basin with a group of students singing spirituals, Mexican folk songs, and American folk songs. She was also a member of Medical Center Hospital's auxiliary since 1966. She retired from ECISD in 1990. Barbara Shin is pictured in 2010 with her then-student Taylor Rawson. Shin died Tuesday in Odessa at age 88. Courtesy photo. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County confirmed cases, 78. Ector County negative, 1,044 out of 1,173 tested with 51 pending, 4 deaths. Midland County, 76 confirmed, out of 1,608 tested, 6 deaths. Texas, 27,054 confirmed, with 314,790 tested. Total Texas deaths, 732. U.S. cases, 1,005,147 total confirmed, and 57,505 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Sewell Leadership Live. The Sewell family of companies will be wrapping up their Sewell Leadership Live series with David Salyers at 10 a.m. today on the Sewell family of companies Facebook page at symbol Team Sewell. That's TEAMSEWELL. And at www.teamsewell.com/leadership. Salyers' message is titled The Upside to the Downside. Salyers is one of the original two marketing executives at Chick-fil-A. Having worked at Chick-fil-A his entire career, Salyers saw the principles of servant leadership and compassion play out in the growth of more than 2,300 Chick-fil-A restaurants around the country. Museum Online Events. The Ellen Noel Art Museum has scheduled the following online events on the museum's Facebook and YouTube. Links will be available through Twitter and Instagram. Hashtag Museum From Home. Hashtag ENAM at Home. May 6th, 10 a.m. La Princesa and the Pea Art Tales with Susan Middleton Elia. May 21st, 6 p.m. Museum's Book Club Book Talk on the museum's Facebook page or on www.noelartmuseum.org. This month's book discussion will be over All the Light We Cannot See. May 28th, 6 p.m., the 2020 Insight 62nd Annual Permian Basin Juried Art Digital Exhibition, and winners will be selected by juror Georgina Ngozi and will be posted on the museum's website and Facebook page. August 9th, 5 p.m., online exhibition ends. Top three artworks with the most likes on the museum's Facebook page will receive People's Choice Awards. Awards will be mailed to winners. For more information, call 550-9696 extension 214 or email marketing@noelartmuseum.org. Visit www.noelartmuseum.org.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.